Welcome to the Rock Church and World Outreach Center. We pray that this message will strengthen and encourage you. Now here's a message from Pastor Luke Cobray.
Well, tonight's kind of a fun night. I'm going to start, we're going to start a little series looking into some history. For those of you that know, I talk about it often or frequently. I'm a real history buff. I really like to learn what's gone on in the past. I truly believe the cliche that if we don't know our history, we're doomed to repeat it. And truth be told, all throughout society, all throughout our lives, all throughout our world, we look to people that have experience hoping to gain what they have gained. You know, you think about men like Warren Buffett and Berkshire Hathaway that are investment gurus. We would pay an absorbent amount of monies to sit with a person like that because of their experience to hear their advice or their direction in our life when it's so neat for us to have this thing called history, to look back on the lives of people that have gone before us and to look at their lives, to look at the history, the things that they've experienced and the things that they've gone through that we can learn. Because I believe that there are many lessons for us to learn in life. I tell you, every day of my life is a life lesson. Whether it's smashing my finger and the words that follow is a life lesson on peace and on high school words and things I shouldn't say, or lessons on just how to be a better father, a better husband, a better pastor, how to be a good Christian, or whatever it might be. There's so many lessons in the Word of God for us to learn. And I remember looking back a while back, we did a series called Lessons from the Kings, and we looked at some of the kings of the Old Testament. And in teaching church history in our Bible college, you'll know, is any of my church history students or former students or previous students? All right. So you can see some of them hollered because it's not that bad, okay? Some of them are like, I don't want to admit that I went through your class, but it's okay. It's all right. They'll know that one of my favorite seasons in history is an age that we would call the Apostolic Church. The Apostolic Church is the time when Jesus Christ ascended to the throne and he left his disciples waiting in the upper room until the time John, the last apostle, died somewhere around 100 AD, the era of the disciples or the apostles. And the reason is that the church was so infant, it was growing, there wasn't this theology. We talked about the importance of knowing the Word of God. You might find this hard to believe, they didn't have Bibles. At that time, you know, when we say open up your Bibles, they didn't have that. All they had was the story of a man, and they lived their life based on the letters or the story of somebody else. And yet, because of these men and the influence that these men had, the world exploded with Christianity. It's just such an exciting era. And so I wanted to take a look into this season, into this time, because there's some real pillars in this season of men that just changed the world. And I wish we could go on and on and on and talk about all of these great apostles and what each one of them did. But really, there's a couple of men that I want to focus on and what we can learn from their lives and the messages that we can see through the experiences that they went through and how we can learn through that. So over the next couple of weeks, I'll take you and we'll look at some of these lives. We'll look at the history and some of the understanding, and we'll look at some of the things that went on during that time and pull out the truth of their lives that we can apply. And I believe that when we can look at history, when we can look at what somebody's done behind us and we can realize the application in our own lives, that's when things like history that could be a boring subject for some. That's when things like history can really come alive, because we understand why it's important to understand or to know what happened. And so today I want to take a look at, and the title will be, the series will be called Looking At. Today I want to take a look at one of my favorite, if not, he's got to be my favorite, if you could call him a Bible character. A character kind of makes it sound like a story. My favorite person in history besides Jesus is Peter. Simon Peter. The Apostle Peter. I'll tell you what, if there's anybody in my life that I can relate to, it's this man. There's the greats like Paul, and we're going to look at Paul, and there's the disciple whom Jesus loved, who John refers to that of himself, who really he was the man who leaned on the chest of Jesus and had this intimate relationship of a friendship with Jesus. And then there's this man, Peter. Now, Peter often gets this cliche, he kind of gets this this reputation in the Bible or in church circles as kind of like the outspoken disciple, the hot-headed one. And kind of, you know, he was ready at a moment's notice to give his opinion, or he was the one, we'll see, he chopped off one of the guards' ears after they were coming after Jesus. But there's so much to Peter beyond just Peter being the outspoken one. There's so much to Peter beyond just walking on water. There's so much to Peter's life that I believe we need to understand and lessons that we need to learn beyond just what we know of Peter. Now I want to take a look at some real critical areas of Peter's life and what we can learn and what we can realize and what we can apply to our lives so that we can learn from his experience, because it's there for us to know all about. And so today I want to take a look at this man, Peter, my favorite apostle, certainly my favorite disciple, a man I can relate to just based on growing up. My family was the outspoken family. Pastor Jim, as many of you know, I talked about him this week. He's kind of the, I'll tell you like it is. I don't care how you feel about me. I'm going to be in your face about it. Let me love you enough to respect you to truth, tell you the truth. And Peter, I really can relate to that. I feel like Peter was that way in a lot of times. He was a man that oftentimes rose up to be the spokesman for the apostles or the disciples. When somebody would ask a question, they would go to Peter to ask the question. I think because of his ability to speak, his ability to address people, and his lack of fear for opening his mouth. Sometimes we've seen in Peter's life that when he opened his mouth, he would kindly insert his foot in it as well, which is a great lesson to learn right there. But today I want to just look at his life. And the first time we see Peter in the New Testament is in the book of Matthew in the fourth chapter. Matthew in the fourth chapter tells us that Jesus was walking along the Sea of Galilee and he sees two brothers, some translations or some books say attending their nets, some say on their boat fishing. And so Matthew the fourth chapter says, Jesus walking by the Sea of Galilee saw two brothers, Simon and Peter, or Simon called Peter, and Andrew his brother, casting a net into the sea. And verse number 19, it says that Jesus said to them, this is my favorite statement, he said to them, follow me and I will make you fishers of men. I think that's just such a cool statement, to be fishers of men, not fishers of, I fish for fish. I would call myself a fisherman. And fish are fun to catch, they are, but there's just nothing better than seeing somebody's life changed because of Jesus Christ. Fishing for men. Now, sometimes people get a little bit rubbed the wrong way. Oh, I don't like it when you refer to that as fishing, but I'm just repeating Jesus Christ. So Jesus says to this man, Peter, or Simon, and his brother Andrew, follow me and I'll make you fishers of men. And the Bible tells us immediately they left their nets and they followed him. They dropped everything to follow this man. So I just want to take you there because I really think history is a great story. So just go with me. Just open up your thinking caps. Let's just go with our imagination. Let's have a little bit of fun tonight thinking and visualizing the story. So here's Jesus and he's walking on the shoreline, you know, like you're walking on the beach in the wet sand and the water's just kind of touching his toes. And there he sees all these boats and they're coming in from the end of the day and they're tending to their nets and they're making sure that everything's good for the next day, washing off all the water and all the grime and all the nastiness that's on their nets. And here's this man and he says, hey, follow me and I will make you fishers of men. Now normally a person would be like, you're nuts. But the Bible tells us they dropped their nets and they followed him. What made them so receptive to follow Jesus? Peter was a follower of Jesus. Things that we can learn from the life of Peter is Peter left everything to follow this man at his beck and call. Jesus tells us in the book of John, my sheep hear my voice and they know. My sheep hear my voice and I know them and they follow me. So what made Peter so receptive to leave everything he has? Here's what we know about Peter based on what the Bible tells us. We know that Peter was born near the Sea of Galilee. We know that Peter owned a home. So we know that if he owned a home in Capernaum, that means that Peter had some wealth to him. That he wasn't just, you know, a peasant. He wasn't just, Peter was probably middle class or upper middle class to own a home. We know that Peter was married. So that means that he had a family to provide for. So here's a man that's married. Here's a man that owns a business or has a boat with his brother or a partnership. And here's a man, Jesus, that walks along the side of the seashore and says, follow me and I'll make you fishers of men. And here's a man that leaves everything behind to follow. Why? Because Peter knew his shepherd's voice. Peter knew the voice of God. For you and I, the lesson to be learned is, do we know when God speaks to us? How do we know? Because Jesus says, my sheep know my voice, and I know them, and they listen when I call. So when God speaks, how do we know? And I really believe the answer comes that the book of John tells us, and I won't take you there, but the book of John tells us that Andrew, Peter's brother, had listened to John the Baptist. And John the Baptist, his mission was to tell the whole church, the whole world, that Jesus was coming. And so Andrew heard the teachings of Jesus, and when he heard about Jesus, their heart was open and receptive. And he says to his brother Peter, "That's the guy I heard about." Their hearts were open, receptive. Sometimes in our lives, we get so busy. We get so wrapped up in jobs. We get so wrapped up in houses. We get so wrapped up in relationships. We get so wrapped up in everything that we're doing in our day-to-day business that we miss that still small voice that God has for us. To say, hey, I want to talk. Hey, I want you to follow me. So to take the lesson from Peter to realize that Jesus is our shepherd, and that when he calls, we ought to know his voice. How do we know his voice? By opening our hearts and preparing to receive and being receptive to the voice of God. Because like we saw in the Old Testament, God comes at sometimes the most inconvenient times. God shows up on the scene in the times that we don't expect him to be. And his voice isn't this booming voice like the disciples heard when Jesus was baptized or when Jesus was transfigured on the mount. Oftentimes his voice is a still, small voice that speaks to us in the night, in our times of turmoil, in our times of busyness, and to be able to say, God, I hear you, I'm listening. Here I am, to learn from Peter that he knew his shepherd's voice. So Peter goes on and he becomes a follower of Jesus, and the Bible goes on and tells us some great stories about Peter, some great stories about the miracles and Jesus feeding the 5,000 and Jesus feeding the 4,000. And Jesus and his disciples are walking along the road one day, and he asks his disciples, I can just imagine Jesus is walking, and I can just think he's probably walking backwards, and he's asking them, hey, who does everybody say that I am? Matthew, the 16th chapter. And the disciples say, well, some people say that you're Elijah. Some people say that you're John the Baptist. Some people, and they kind of give them what the consensus is on the public of who Jesus is. And Jesus asks his disciples in Matthew, the 16th chapter, Jesus asks his disciples, he says, who do you say I am? He asks all of them, who do you say I am? And Peter, the spokesman, the preacher, he jumps up and he says, you're the Christ, the Son of the living God. And Jesus says to Peter, blessed are you, Simon Bar-Jona, for flesh and blood didn't reveal this to you, but my Father who is in heaven. He goes on and he says in verse number 18, and I say to you that you are Peter, and on this rock I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. That's the founding scripture for us here at the Rock Church and World Outreach Center. Oftentimes we say, well, what is this rock that Jesus is talking about? Sometimes we say, well, it's the revelation that God, Jesus said it wasn't given to you by men. It was revelation of the Holy Spirit. And so Jesus says, you know, oftentimes we hear, well, it's the revelation of the Holy Spirit to man that Jesus will build his church. And I believe that that's truth. But I believe Jesus, who knew all, who knew what was coming, who was connected to God, was God incarnate. I believe that Jesus knew how to speak in such a way that he had more than one meaning. As a matter of fact, Peter tells us about the grace of God that it's the manifold grace, meaning multi-sided. That just when we think we know, just when we think we have it mastered, all of a sudden we see another thing. All of a sudden we see another truth. And so here, I believe, is probably one of, if not the high point of Peter's life. I mean, think about it. Imagine with me for a moment. You're with 11 of your best friends, your family, and add to that anybody else who was following Jesus at the time, and Jesus asks the question, and you got it right. I mean, that's pretty cool. Right there alone, you know, you could see Peter, I could just see Peter kind of like, yeah, man, I did it. You know, chest kind of puffed out. And then Jesus says, blessed are you, Simon, son of Jonah. I could just think of Peter like, yeah. You know, I can just imagine Thomas and Bartholomew and Andrew coming up and just kind of like, man, That was awesome. Jesus just said, you're blessed. I just imagine the high point. I can just, as they're walking on the road, you know, everybody's kind of coming up and they want to get next to Peter. Dude, that was so cool. Jesus just said that you're blessed. And so Peter, you know, he's kind of, I'm good. I got this. Jesus said he's going to build the rock on Peter. See, oftentimes we think that it's the revelation, but I believe that there's more to it. Why? Because the Bible tells us in the book of John, when Andrew introduces Simon, who's Peter's name, to Jesus, Jesus renames him. He gives him a name to what we know today. Peter. Did you know that? Jesus gave Peter his name. And Peter literally means stone or rock. So that's why when Jesus says, you are Peter, Jesus is saying, man, you're a rock. And I'm going to build my church on you. I tell you what, that right there would make any person on top of the world. The highest moment, I could just see Peter like, oh, I have arrived. But you know, how many times in our lives have we think, and I can think back to my own life, how many times in my own life have I thought, man, I have arrived. I've made it. Praise God. I got beyond that trial. Oh, hallelujah. I am an overcomer. I am the man. You start getting that walk, you know what I'm saying? Like, oh, yeah. All good. Peter's got the walk. He's arrived. But how many times in our life when we think right then that we've made it, we seem to fall flat on our face. When we think it's all about us, it's the Peter, it's the Simon Bar Jonah show. Dun, 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 dun. And right then, when we think that we've got everything figured out, right then when we think that we've arrived, right then when the skies opened up, it seems like the moment right after that, we fall on our face. And this is why I say I love Peter so much. Because it seems like every time I think I'm good, every time I think that I've got it together, every time I think I've figured out the answer, it seems like the very next step I take in life leads me to trip and stumble and fall flat on my face. And to know if anything in my life that I'm not alone is comfort to me. Peter, right after Jesus exhorts him, right after Jesus says, oh, you are blessed, Peter. They begin to walk and Jesus begins to say, oh, I got to go to Jerusalem and suffer at the hands of others and die. And Peter takes it upon himself because he has arrived to pull Jesus aside. And now the cricket has now become the master. To tell Jesus, far be it from me that that's going to happen. And we see in Matthew, the 16th chapter, verse number 20. Go ahead and put it up on the screen, guys. Matthew, the 16th chapter. Okay, Peter tells Jesus that you're not going to die. Far be it from me. And Jesus says to Peter these words, get behind me, Satan. Okay. He just said he was going to build his church on Peter. And literally, the next sentence, Jesus is rebuking Peter. I have a little video I want to show you. It's a monologue. It's a modern day actor acting as though or reciting as though he was Peter in that moment. And I just want to show you just so we can relate because I really believe there's such an important message for this. So check out the screens.
You know what it felt like? It felt like dad strength. You know, when you were a kid and you're wrestling with your dad, you know, and he's just taking all the hits and he's toying with you, and then boom, he just takes you down. Jesus setting me straight that day. That felt a lot like that. Okay, I know. Hindsight is 20/20, but at that time and at that moment, I just couldn't figure out what he was talking about, you know? I mean, why did he have to suffer? Why did he have to die? No. Not on my watch. This wasn't going to happen. No, sir. It just wasn't like he was thinking straight, you know? I kept thinking maybe he's dehydrated. Maybe he's hungry. The man never got enough to eat, if you ask me. So I take him aside, and I start laying into him. And before I could even get very far, he stops me, looks me in the eyes, because he has those eyes. And you know what he said to me? Get behind me, Satan. dad's strength. Those words, those eyes, that moment floored me. He floored me. But I mean, seriously, get behind me, Satan. All right, I admit I have some flaws, you know, but Satan, I mean, that stung a bit, you know what I'm saying? I mean, I just didn't get it. I just didn't see the whole picture, which won't be the last time that'll happen, mind you. You see, I wanted him to use that dad strength on the world, you know? I mean, my desires, my plans. And your boy Peter's plans, they don't always work out so good, i.e. ear slicing, etc. But he knew all along. He would give us just enough rope for allow us to figure things out for ourselves. And then he had that dad strength, you know? He'd pull us back in. Right at that moment, we needed saving from ourselves. That was his plan all along, saving us from ourselves. Saving me from myself.
Peter needed to see that beyond the plans of men lay the plans of God. Sometimes in our lives we make plans. We have it all mapped out. Got that 5-year plan, got that 10-year plan. You got that investment portfolio. We say tomorrow we'll go to such and such city and buy and sell and make a profit. But Peter needed to realize in this moment when he took it upon himself to tell Jesus, no, you can't die. No, that's not for you. He needed to realize that beyond or above the plans of men lay the plans of God. To learn to follow God's plan, not his own. I like how Peter says in that video, or that the actor says, it's not the first time I missed the big picture. The comfort and knowing of Peter's life is that Peter was just an ordinary man, a fisherman, a man who owned a home, a man who had a wife like some of us in this place today who have a husband or a wife, or living that American dream. To understand that you've got plans and that's good, that's great. But beyond your plans lay God's. We've got to learn to follow God's plans, not just our own. Such an amazing thought. Looking at the life of Peter and looking at the story of Peter, much more happens, but I really believe that the most crucial and the most pivotal time in Peter's life happened in a period of 50 days. In a period of 50 days, Peter's life changed dramatically and completely, and this man, even though he had spent 3 years with Jesus, was never the same after these 50 days. And Jesus, as he has his disciples in the upper room and they're in Jerusalem and they're celebrating the Passover feast, Jesus does something amazing. He takes his clothes and he takes them off and he wraps himself in a towel and a garment and he washes his disciples' feet and he eats dinner with them and he tells them that there's one of them that's going to betray him. And he says, even still, you're at my table. And they begin to say, and Peter says in John the 13th chapter, Peter says in John the 13th chapter, he says, Lord, where are you going? And Jesus says, where I go, you can't go. You can't follow me, but you'll come after. Verse number 37, Peter says, Lord, why can't I follow you now? I'll lay down my life for your sake. Jesus says something to Peter that changes his life, that rocks his world. He says, you'll lay your life down for me, for my sake? Most assuredly, I say to you that until the cock crows, you will have denied me 3 times. Jesus tells Peter, something's happening in your life. Something's going to happen and you will deny me. Deny my existence, deny knowing me, whatever it might be. You will deny me 3 times. And you and I look at that and we read back and we say, man, Peter missed it. The capital sin or crime of Peter's life. To deny his shepherd. And this is a moment, I believe, that changed Peter's life. And there's a story I want to show you, yet another video of Jesus telling Peter, and you know the story that Peter does eventually deny Jesus, like Jesus says. And that same actor comes back and he recounts a story of Peter's experience in the time that Jesus has died before his resurrection. And I want to just take you back to understand, looking at the life of Peter, what we can look at in our own lives. So I want to just draw your attention to the screen. Check out that video one more time.
They say a rooster crowing is God's wake-up call. Yeah, that's at least that's the way it was for me. Everything, that whole night was a blur, all right? I didn't comprehend, none of us could comprehend everything that was going on, all right? We were all in the upper room, Jesus was washing our feet, then we were in the garden, Jesus goes off to pray by himself. I fell asleep, I'm not proud of it, had a big meal, bread makes me sleepy. Next thing we know, me, James, and John, Jesus is in our face, and he's trying to wake us up, and the flesh is weak, the spirit is willing, and then before we know it, Judas is kissing Jesus on the cheek. I try to go help him. I cut off this guard's ear. For the record, I wasn't aiming for his ear. I'm a fisherman, not a swordsman. And then they arrest Jesus, and they take him off, and we ran. And it wasn't but 2 hours earlier that we were in the upper room. I was looking at him. I was looking him right in the eye saying, if everyone disowns you, Jesus, I won't. I'm with you. I love you. And I think that's what made me stop, turn around, go back. And I caught a glimpse of Jesus as they were taking him to the high priest's house. Stood at the gate, and some girl comes up to me, starts pointing at me, starts going, you're with him. You're with this man that claims to be the Son of God. You're one of his disciples. I felt like every eye was on me. So I just brushed her off. I said, you don't know what you're talking about. You got the wrong guy. I get my way into the courtyard, and it's cold. I try to warm up by the fire. And then there's this guard that recognizes me, and he is from the ear incident, you know, and starts going, get him, he's with him, just arrest him, get him. And I'm like, you don't know what you're talking about, all right? I wasn't with him. It was easier the second time to deny him. It was sometime right before morning, and this wise guy, he comes up to me and goes, who are you kidding, all right? Who are you fooling? You're with him. I can tell by your accent. I'm like, this is just the way I talk, all right? And the whole night, they kept pushing him around. They kept beating him. They kept spitting on him, throwing insults at him, and I couldn't take it anymore. I had enough. I was tired of people accusing me, looking at me, and I said a few things that I'm not proud of, but I was like, leave him alone. You don't know what you're doing, all right? Just leave him alone. I wasn't with him. And that's when I heard the most blood-curdling sound I ever heard in my whole life. I heard that rooster crow. And at that moment, Jesus, he turns around and he looks at me. He looks at me. And his gaze, you can't escape his gaze. I mean, when his eyes are on you, you cannot escape it. And they arrested him and they took him off. I will die with you, Jesus. If everybody disowns you, I will die with you. What a joke. I mean, what would you do? At that moment, at that time, I ran. I ran so fast, I ran so long. And you know what they did? They killed him. He's dead.
The Bible tells us that as soon as Peter heard the rooster crow, he wept bitterly. So often, when we face hard times, we do exactly what Peter did. We run from God. As though we think God is going to judge, condemn, rebuke, cast out. Look at Adam and Eve. They made a mistake, they sinned, and they hid. And here Peter follows the human condition to run from God. When the lesson to be learned in this man's darkest hour of his life is, don't run from God in the darkest hours of your life, when logic and when fear, when everything else, when you see, like his monologue said, all eyes are on you, everybody wants to see the decision you're going to make. Don't do what Peter did. Run from God. Capital mistake of Peter's life, to deny Jesus Christ. Even after Jesus told him he would, Peter still followed through with it. To me, if there's anything I can learn in my own life, church is so full of imperfect people. There's nobody perfect in here, starting on this pulpit. We've all made mistakes. We've all looked at that place when we think, man, everything's lost, all is gone, there's no more hope. What recovery is there from that? But we know how that monologue left over, they killed him. We know, looking back at history, something happened 3 days after his event. That Jesus Christ rose from the dead. That the stone was rolled away. And Jesus Christ gloriously came from a position of being dead and defeated to alive and in control. And he sent a message to the world. But so importantly, church, he sent a message to Peter. Look what it says in the book of Mark. Go tell, he tells his angels, go tell the disciples and Peter. Because here's a man that screwed up his life in one day, that made the capital mistake a human being could do, to reject Jesus Christ. But upon the glorious return of Jesus, he sends a message to the world, and he says, go tell my disciples and tell the man that is weeping bitterly for messing his life up that I'm here. The restoration. Jesus Christ came with a plan for this world to not condemn, but to restore. And he exemplifies his message through this man's mistake by not condemning Peter, but by restoring him. The Bible goes on, and the book of Corinthians tells us that Peter was one of the first disciples that saw Jesus. That the disciples were, one of the disciples was walking on the road to a city, and Jesus was there, and they didn't realize. And afterwards it says, and tell him that he showed himself to Simon. Jesus showed Peter. He said, Peter, I'm here. And Peter knew Jesus was alive. In the book of John, the 21st chapter, the disciples are out fishing. They're doing what they go back to doing what they know to do. They haven't caught anything all night. Jesus, there's a man on the shore, and they don't know it's Jesus. And he says, have you caught anything? No. Throw your net to the other side. And he says, we've turmoiled all night, but at your call, we'll do it. The boat's still overflowing, and Peter at that moment realizes that it's Jesus. I can just think back to this experience. He has a flashback to the Sea of Galilee when they're on the storm, and he sees Jesus on the shore, and Peter's on the boat. The Bible says that Peter puts on his coat, and he jumps into the ocean, and he swims to the shore, and there's Jesus with a fire right there on the shore. I just imagine a cold morning, foggy and misty. And Jesus has a fire there, and he's got some fish, and Peter sits there at the feet of Jesus once again. And Jesus says something to Peter in John, the 21st chapter. It says, when they had eaten breakfast, Jesus says to Simon Peter, Simon, son of Jonah, do you love me more than these? I can imagine he points down to the fish, being that Peter was a fisherman, being that Peter was out there on the sea fishing, doing what he knew to do. Jesus says, Peter, do you love me more than your life? Peter says, Lord, I love you. And he says, feed my sheep. And Jesus says to Peter, Peter, do you love me? Peter says, Lord, you know I love you. And he says, feed my lambs. And the third time, Jesus says to Peter, Peter, do you love me? Peter's heart is broken. He says to Jesus, Jesus, you know everything. You know that I love you. And Jesus says, feed my sheep. Three times, Peter denied Jesus. Three times, Jesus challenged him to do what he was called to do. God chose Peter to be Christ's disciples. Jesus chose Peter. The Bible tells us, God knew you before you were even in your mother's womb. The Bible tells us that Jesus Christ, the Lamb of God in the book of Revelation, was slain before the foundations of the world. Knowing that we would exist today, Jesus chose us. And his mission was to restore the world. You may seem like you're at the end of your rope. You may feel like I've made too many mistakes. I've done too many bad things. There's never a chance in my life that I'll ever recover from the decisions that I've made. But here we see exemplified that Jesus three times restored Peter for his three denials in that season. And Peter, or Jesus says to Peter, there was a time when you were young and you would walk and do whatever you wanted to do. But as you grow old, people's hands will carry you to places you don't want to go. And he's beginning to tell Peter about the death that Peter will face some 35 years later from this day, that will glorify the church. And here, 50 days later from Peter's denial, 50 days after the day, the Passover feast when Peter made the choice to wreck his life through a bad decision, Peter lives the calling of Jesus Christ on the day of Pentecost. In Acts, the second chapter, when the Bible tells us that the Holy Spirit came upon them like a loud and rushing wind, and they began to speak in other languages around the world, and people began to say, these people are crazy, they're mad, and they're drunk. And who was it that stood up and began to preach the gospel of Jesus Christ? None other than the man who 50 days previous denied Jesus Christ. Every time you see Peter and John, Peter's known as the preacher. Peter helped found the churches. The church in Rome, which would become the early church, the capital or the leader position when Jerusalem fell. Peter was there, founding and building. And what Jesus said about Peter, upon this rock, I will build my church, came to pass. If anything we can learn from the story that impacts me every day when I think about Peter, is that if God can use Peter, an ordinary man, if God can choose a man who was a fisherman by trade, a man who didn't grow up with an education, a man who didn't grow up with privilege, but a man who had to work for his life, if God can use Peter, a man who put his foot in his mouth, a man who made mistake after mistake, what can God do with you? What can God do with you? God has a plan. Like he had a plan for Peter, like he had a plan for John, like he had a plan for Paul. God has a plan for you. He wants to see you succeed. He wants to see you blessed. He wants to see you build his church. Because of men like Peter, who 35 years after Jesus rose to heaven, gave his life on a cross upside down because he was no longer worthy to die in the same manner as Jesus Christ. To die under the same emperor that killed Paul as well. Here's a man that built and laid the foundations of the church for you and I. If God can use Peter, what can he do with you? It starts by having that receptive and that open heart to know the voice of your shepherd. Peter was called by God to follow Christ, and he responded to the call. Peter was chosen by Jesus to know that you are chosen by God. Peter fell on his face. He was rebuked by Jesus, but he had to realize and learn the hard plan of life, that despite the plans of men, God's plans are above. Peter had to learn. God didn't come to condemn. He came to restore. It's nothing that you haven't done. If you have breath in your lungs right here, right now in your life, there is nothing that you have done that has taken you so far from God that you cannot come back to what God has for you. I feel like I am a Peter. I feel like sometimes I just can't get it right. I feel like sometimes I just fall on my face when I think I've got it all. And to know that I'm not alone makes me know that I can get up tomorrow and do exactly what God has in store for me. Amen. Tonight, if you're in this place, you feel like you just, man, you kind of came and you just didn't know. You just had that uncertainty. You just needed some confirmation in your life. Maybe you just say, oh, God, seeing Peter's denial and his recount makes me just think about all the mistakes I make in my life. If that's you in this place, I want to pray for you. So I want to ask if you could just do something. I want to ask if that's you in this place and you say, man, I just need to learn from Peter. I feel like that my own self. I feel like sometimes I just can't get it right. I just want to ask if you could. I know it's a bold statement, but if you could you just stand to your feet? Let's pray together. Let's let the Holy Spirit all over this place. There's nothing to be ashamed of. We're learning from the pillar of the church. And today, let's just pray. Go before the presence of God. Because the Bible tells us that God is a God of comfort. Jesus says, I'll give you a comforter. His name is the Holy Spirit. That will comfort you in your time of trial, in your time of need. So that someday, you can comfort others. Peter, when he wrote his letter, 1 and 2 Peter, was able to instruct the church on godly conduct and forward thinking because he fell on his face over and over and over and he learned from God. And today, I believe that God wants to speak to you. I believe that God wants to move in your life. I believe that God wants to restore what you have in your life. So let's pray together. Father, I just thank you. Lord, I thank you first and foremost that your word says that where sin abounds, grace abounds even more. Lord, if there's any lesson that we can learn from your wonderful and impactful and powerful apostle Peter, who I know is with you now, oh Lord, I pray that you would just teach us the message of your grace. Lord, that where sin abounds, where our flesh nature abounds, Lord, where our mistakes elevate our sense of what we are and what we deserve, Lord, I pray that your grace, your unmerited favor, your divine ability to get the job done on our behalf would overshadow us and pour over us, God. Pray that you would speak to each and every person in this place that reaches out. Lord, we hold you faithful to your word that when we draw near to you, Lord, that you would draw near to us. So, Father, those that are in this place that have seeds of doubt, seeds of discouragement, hardships on their minds, Lord, I pray that you would begin to comfort them right now. Where they're at, Lord, to begin to speak to them like Jesus, to go tell the disciples and Peter that I love them, that I died for them, that I rose again, that where sin abounds, grace abounds, and I've covered you, I've enabled you, I've equipped you, I've given you what you need. All you got to do is stop running and start coming to God. So Lord, I pray that you would just speak to us your peace. God, I pray that you would just speak to us your presence. God, I pray that you would just begin to speak to your church. Those of us that are discouraged, those of us that are frustrated, those of us that don't know what to do next, Lord, I pray that your spirit would pour out on us. Give us that wisdom, that direction, Lord, that instruction and that encouragement that we need to know we can make it. We can do this. That we can make it to the end. That we can be successful in our Christian walks. Lord, I thank you that as we do, Lord, we will impact the world. Like you said of Peter, you will build your church. Lord, that you would build your church, your universal church, your body on us, your faithful servants, as we follow after you. Lord, teach us your will. Speak to us your calling. Lord, show us your redemptive value through Jesus Christ. To you be the praise and the glory and the honor. In Jesus' mighty name. Amen.
Thank you for listening to the Rock Church and World Outreach Center. If this message spoke to you, please share it with us. We'd love to hear from you. You can find more information at www.rockchurch.com.